This is Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange.
I live right in the middle of the woods. This big thing was 75 feet away from me, smelled awful, devoured a whole deer carcass, and then took off and, like, screeched, and took off across the street. And I know you guys are going to think I'm crazy, but I'm dead serious. There was something very big, a lot bigger than me, out here. How long ago did this happen? Immediately. I don't know if animal control, I mean, it is a very large, hairy animal of some kind.
Now, was it standing on two or four?
Well, I told you it was standing on two legs. You're going to think I'm crazy, but I'm serious. It ran off at breaking limbs and trees. And it kind of screeched, howled. A very creepy, scary thing. Because, like I said, I live in a tent. We're in the woods. And I just saw this freaky, scary, very large creature devour a deer and run off across the road.
Okay,
I don't know.
Is there any way that we can have an officer contact you?
Yeah, I guess it's his number.
Okay, and do you see signs of a dead deer, blood, whatever?
I'm not going to go check it out right at the moment. Is that okay? Like I said, I thought somebody should know there's a very large something big enough to eat a deer and as a predator.
Are you seeing someone there?
Yes, ma'am.
Do they see it too?
Yes, ma'am.
I lived in the woods for years. I swear to God, I've never seen nothing like this. This is bigger than me.
And it...
I'm just free. It's bigger than me.
It's very large. He carried the carcass off. I mean...
Oh, he carried
like,
it.
With
okay.
Nothing. Like just...
But I'm the one that picked up that deer and walked with two feet.
It's very large something that smells bad and is bigger than we are. My husband's a very large... Nothing's ever scared him, and, we both saw it, so.
Okay. All right. We'll have an officer patrol that area.
Strange Harbor. Be strange.
And another exciting episode of Strange Harbor. Where we talk about the weird.
The strange, the unbendable, the unstraightenable.
Johnny and Billy here, and we talk weird things. You know, a nice change from political programming and right-wing wacko, left-wing hippies and commies and stuff like that. We come in with UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's right, yeah.
Near death. And stuff, ghosts.
You have the right wing, the left wing, and then we are the upper wing. We're up there in the stratosphere.
Sasquatch Summit. I get nervous around this time because the Sasquatch Summit's so close, and I think nobody's going to show up. And then
you have the 1,000 people that showed up last year. Yeah, nobody wants to come back.
I always get nervous that nobody's going to show up. And so, anyway, we got Adam Davies. He's never been... to our event, and he's really been wanting to come. He's a cryptozoologist. He's been on National Geographic.
Yeah.
He's been on Monster Quest. He's been on Finding Bigfoot. He's been all over, you know, doing all sorts. I mean, this is like what he does. He's a cryptozoologist.
And what is that?
That's just the study of unknown creatures or animals or whatever.
Like the Schnoz monster or something.
Yeah,
like
the Schnozberry.
Yeah.
And he's English. You know, he's from England.
Oh, well, yeah. With a name like Davies, of course, yeah.
Yeah, cool guy. And I'm excited for him to come. Richter Royolo.
Riolo.
Yeah, Riolo.
Yeah.
He's been a guest here.
He has. He's a cool guy.
He is going to be, because he got to study under this DNA dude. I don't remember his name and I don't remember the title, but he's like one of those legitimate DNA scientist guys.
Yeah, yeah.
So he got to learn how to collect DNA correctly so it's not contaminated or at least possible contamination. And,
right.
And then how to construct his own DNA kit, and he's going to teach folks how to construct their own DNA kit also.
Oh, awesome.
So... Olympic Project, they're going to be discussing some habituation areas, not necessarily like where they are, but what's going on at these people's houses in the woods and the visitors or the audio from these houses, these locations, these habituation sites. and how we can determine what animals they're not visually. We've talked about that in the past.
Yeah.
Tom Powell, he's going to be there, and he's funny. He's like a seventh grade teacher. He used to be a curator for the BFRO, and now he's kind of just doing his own thing, but he always kind of manages to write comedy into his presentations.
Yeah.
Really funny, but he's pretty smart, too. Pretty smart cookie.
Yeah, we have to be to write comedy.
Yeah. Last time I heard him speak, and I think it was the UFO Paranormal Summit, he talked about the possibilities of this main database of information and all of us being plugged into it. Now, at first, when you first hear it, you kind of think, oh, man, what a crazy crackpot kind of idea that is.
Yeah.
But then more and more, like, scientists are kind of hopping on board. As, you know, there could be this centralized kind of almost database of information that each of us, our brains, are tapping into. That's why some of us can tap into it, like the Teslas, and they're able to create, invent these things, and the Elon Musks,
yeah.
And the, you know, some of them can tap into it better or more efficient than others, and then there's the dummies like me.
And me. I don't tap very well.
Oh, yeah. Bob Gimlin will be at the Sasquatch Summit next weekend. He is the one half of the Patterson-Gimlin footage, and he's been a guest on my morning show, and, you know, he has quite the remarkable story. You know, most of us have heard it, but a lot haven't. And that day that he and Patterson were out in the woods and got that film, that famous film of the Sasquatch walking across the riverbank with all of the people that claimed that it was them. Oh, that was me in that suit. That was a
yeah.
suit. Not
yeah.
That was me. And then when we get the technology to stabilize the video, which wasn't all that long ago, we see her breasts swinging, you know, kind of swaying back and forth. And it's
yeah.
like, okay, well, if you were wearing that suit, how come you didn't mention anything about breasts or it being a female
right.
or anything like that? But, and you know, that film has been torn apart so many times, scrutinized and just put through the ringer, that people don't want to accept it, even though it's been, I want to say, more legitimized than not, if that makes sense. You know, when they go frame by frame, and I mean, they're going down to even the shadows, and then the imprints that Patty's feet leave, and the weight of those prints, and it's just crazy. And a lot of people speculate now that there were other Sasquatch nearby that the camera picked up, or the camera had just barely picked up, but you don't see enough of it. But, you know, that's speculation at this point, you know.
So, all these wonderful people are coming.
Yes.
Where are they coming to?
Ocean Shores, man. Open Source.
And where in Ocean Shores?
Oh, just down the street. No. Quinault Beach Resort and Casino.
And
yeah.
What days?
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the 16th, 17th, and 18th.
So that's about a week away.
Yeah.
Awesome. And what do people have to do to sign up to come to this event? What do they have to do to
Well, you can
register?
Get tickets online through SasquatchSummit.com, or you can just show up. And
do they get any break for doing it online? Or?
Well, I think the deadline is passed, but they used to get like a free T-shirt if they got their tickets before a certain date, but I
yeah.
think the date's already passed, so it's still the same price. They just don't get the T-shirt. They could buy it, but, you know. And then Toby Johnson has made, he's an artist and a researcher, the London Trackway. He has sculpted, created this life-size Sasquatch, and I'll post pictures of it on the website. But it's like 8-9 feet tall, hair. I mean, it looks like a real Sasquatch. It's just huge. And it's
yeah.
it's a replica. It's to scale of, I think it was one of the ones in Ron Moorhead's area in the Sierra Mountains where he got the Sasquatch, the Sierra Sounds.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those bad boys down there that was hooping and hollering for him. But it's just huge. So we're going to have that on display. And, you know, you get your picture taken with it or something. You know, it doesn't cost anything. But
yeah.
Yeah, it should be fun.
And this is one of the biggest Bigfoot conferences in the country.
If not the world. That's what I'm told.
Yeah.
By people that go all over, you know, all over the world to these things. But I don't know. It would be cool if it was.
Well, it is. And it's wonderful. It's a wonderful event. And people that come there year after year are pleased with the presentations and the evidence that's shared. You know, if you're a skeptic, that's okay. Come take a look. Come see what it's about.
Yeah, a lot of skeptics come.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. And I think they walk out not a skeptic.
Yeah, they're not nearly as skeptical after the after the event. But, you know, it's kind of like an opportunity to really see what this whole Bigfoot thing is all about. And make your own decision.
And I think I should be getting some of that Grace Harbor tourism grant money with the people that I bring in from all over. People come from different countries to come to this.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
So I should get some of that tourism money.
That, a few years ago, I had that Japanese TV group.
Oh, yeah?
Out. Yeah.
Yep.
Films. So.
Yep. A lot of people come down from Canada, too.
Yeah.
They spend their Canadian currency. Eh?
And they come up from Mexico and Australia.
Australia, Russia.
Russia.
Yeah, we've had them from Russia.
China.
Yeah.
North Korea.
All of let's see. What else is going on? You want to talk anything on your mind? Anything you want to get off your chest?
Well, you know, I wanted to talk about the Sasquatch Summit.
Oh, okay.
And you did that. You went right into it.
So, I fell for your trap.
You fell for my trap. You fell right in. My Bigfoot trap.
Yeah.
And, you know, this Bigfoot Summit is, it's impressive. It's very impressive. So, you know, get online, look up Sasquatch Summit, and see what it's all about. But the other thing, well, first of all, today is Veterans Day. So I want to say, hi to all my veteran friends out there. And as a Vietnam vet, you know, I try to stay hidden sometimes, but you know, I think that one of the things I've worked with veterans most of my adult life, and veterans being oftentimes out in the wilderness and in places that are unusual, see things. They see things like UFOs and Bigfoot and creatures of the night. Things that some of us might miss just because they're trained to be more observant. And they're usually in places, you know, where they have to kind of keep a sharp eye out for what's going on around them. So if any of my veteran friends are out there that have seen anything unusual while serving in the military, give us a shout, you know, get on the website, send us an email or a message and let us know what you've seen.
You know, speaking of, I recall an instance where military they were training out in the woods, and it was one of those, you know, you capture the other squad's group.
Yeah, you have to capture their flag or they have devices where you can shoot them electronically.
So this squad is approaching, I think it was like a small lake or pond or something, and they see what they thought was the other group that they were supposed to go out and capture.
Yeah.
But then as, like, the sergeant or whoever the lead guy was, I don't know that military stuff like you do, noticed some things that were kind of out of place, like in what they were wearing or what they weren't wearing,
yeah,
like and what they were doing. And I don't recall the specific details. It was more or less a small Bigfoot family down by this pond and this military group who, you know, they thought it was the other group, and then they stopped themselves saying, whoa, wait a minute, that's not them. What is it?
Yeah.
And then, you know, it went on their merry way. But I thought that was kind of interesting to be in that situation and run into that.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think they're going to lie about something like that. You know, soldiers.
And the military spends a lot of time training in the woods and
training
out in the deserts and training in places that the average person doesn't go.
Right.
And so it just seems that they're more likely to see things like that.
Right.
And so I'd sure like to hear, because I always like to hear stories from veterans who are out there serving our country and making this a better place to live for all of us.
Another account of a Vietnam vet living out in the woods.
Vietnam vets do that.
And, you know, off the grid.
Yeah.
Pretty in harmony with his surroundings. Humble abode. He says it's not the giant Sasquatch you should be afraid of. It's the little people.
Oh, really? Now, we talked about the little people.
Yeah.
Was that last week or week before?
Yeah, I think that was last week.
Yeah.
But I thought that was interesting that, yeah, it's the little people you watch out for.
Yeah, yeah, and that's when we were talking about them. She mentioned that, you know, they might be violent or vindictive and want to get back at people.
And I hear that if you are in the woods and if you hear, like, music, don't go toward it, because that's the little people having their shindig, and apparently the last thing you want to do is interrupt one of their shindigs.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what I heard. How about UFO sightings? You want to talk about UFO sightings,
yeah,
or do you have something else? Did you want to?
There's currently, this is a current thing. It actually, they've been following this thing since late 2017, and I'm not even sure how to pronounce it. Umaumau, I think it is.
Yeah.
And it looks like a big rock in space. It's kind of long and narrow and somewhat flat on top.
Hmm.
And this thing is out there, and they think it might be an alien spacecraft.
Really?
Because of the way it moves. It doesn't move like a meteor or any other kind of thing that they've seen before. Yeah, it's just given its high speed and its unusual trajectory, the reddish stadium-sized whatever it is had clearly come from outside our solar system. But its flattened, elongated shape and the way it accelerated on its way through the solar system set it apart from conventional asteroids and comets. So there's something out there that we can observe that is believed to be an alien spacecraft. And
wow.
This is not coming from some off-the-wall group of people. This is coming from all the mainstream media is talking about it, has run stories on it. These are mainstream scientists and astronomers that have been following this thing.
I'm surprised they're covering it, you know?
Well, you know,
seems like they don't like doing that.
They do sometimes, though. Maybe our world is changing enough that they're willing to look at this stuff.
That would be nice.
I think it's interesting. I think it's interesting that this thing has come up now. And I think people should follow it. Get online, take a look, and see what's happening out there. This could be something that answers a lot of questions for us about life, you know, in other parts of the universe.
If this thing is friendly.
If it's friendly, it may not be. But it doesn't have any visible guns on it, so But maybe they don't need guns.
Yeah, maybe they don't need them.
They just can come burrow right into your brain. But they, it's interesting that this should be, you know, a current event that people can actually see and follow and have a better understanding of, and that it's getting this much attention. So it's something that we can learn from, I think. And maybe it'll turn out to just be a rock. But what it reminds me of is the movie 2001, The Space Odyssey.
Yeah.
And there was the big monolith they spotted in space. Mm-hmm. And this is very similar to it. It's very similar to that monolith from the movie 2001. So it'll be interesting to see if they can actually send, like, the space shuttle or some kind of exploratory craft out to meet this thing and see what happens. We may not want to send a manned vehicle, but maybe just some kind of exploratory vehicle.
UFO sighting Lacey, Washington. This was just a few days ago. You want to hear it?
Yeah, tell me about it.
I was driving home after work from the elementary school I work at for after school care at 6:03, so it's pitch black, and I was pulling out of the school driveway. I stopped to check for cars, and while stopped at the exit to the school, a green light shot past above my car, hovering for maybe a couple of seconds, and it had a green, unwavering light. At first, I thought it was a firework for some reason, but then it was too big and stayed way too long for it to be a firework. It's also November. The object was long and almost clear, but black. Then I don't know where it went. The light vanished, and after that, I had this feeling one gets after passing out, where your whole body feels like it was just hit by a truck, and I forgot what I was doing, and my whole body felt like jello for the rest of the night. And on my way from dropping my boyfriend off at home, I was too scared to drive back home at night.
Wow.
that's weird.
That's a weird one, yeah. But you know, I think that there is there's more UFOs and things out there than we even imagine. I think there are things that we have no idea what they may be. And I think they have an effect on us. I think that they affect our mental state and our physical state. When we see these things, it certainly affects us emotionally. So it's interesting that that these effects, the way that people respond and behave after having a sighting or after having a close encounter, it may be that they're affecting us in a way that we don't understand.
Well, it's Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird, and coming up, more chit-chat, UFOs, Sasquatch, Bill. I thought that was kind of funny.
That's funny.
Right.
You're listening to Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.
Welcome to Strange Harbor. If you've had an out-of-the-ordinary experience, then come to strangeharbor.net and let us know what it is.
It's Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird. And, Bill, I understand that the United States government has a renewed interest in UFOs, or no?
They do.
They do?
They do. That the Congress, United States Congress, has showed an interest. Now, they haven't officially investigated UFOs since the 60s. The last government-sponsored investigation was Project Blue Book back in the 60s. And they really haven't had any kind of organized investigation mm-hmm. since that time. But since recent times, when they've been getting more credible evidence and credible sightings from military pilots, they began looking into it. The Senate Armed Services Committee is currently looking into a 2004 incident where Navy pilots flying with the U.S. Nimitz Strike Group encountered, chased, and filmed fast-moving, unidentified objects. Reliable sources say at least two of the military pilots have already been interviewed, and a radio operator was subsequently invited to get in touch.
Hmm.
There's now a group called the, it's called the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, or Advanced Aviation Threat Identification Program, AATIP, it's cryptically called. And this is a government group from the Armed Forces Services Committee, and they're investigating these sightings and these relatively valid sightings from mm-hmm. military people. So as we were talking about earlier, sometimes military people see a lot of things
mm-hmm, yeah.
that civilians don't see. So I guess that UFO sightings have actually dropped off in the last couple of years.
You wouldn't think so with as many reports that are on UFOs Northwest and,
right.
you know, the other sites.
But it seems that the sightings that are coming in are more credible.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting police and fire and military and scientists and people that have the ability to kind of observe and give us more data to base these interesting sightings on and to validate them. So this is going to be interesting to see what happens with this group.
Do you think that's why the president mentioned a space force?
Well, and you know, that's come up with the...
Reagan mentioned something like that too,
right.
didn't he?
And I think we've always had, the Air Force has always had kind of a similar organization within the Air Force that has been involved in monitoring space and any threats that may come from satellites and countries that are putting satellites up into the sky. So they've always had kind of a Space Force type of organization. But what they're talking about now with this Umaumau thing that's out there, this big unidentified rock that may be a spaceship, that they're saying that this may be the impetus behind the Space Force
mm-hmm.
thing. And if that's the case, you know, I think this is interesting to follow this and to track this object in space that will possibly give us some answers to, you know, who lives out there, who are these alien beings, and why are they coming to our planet? Are they coming to take us away, or are they coming to help us out?
What did Christopher Columbus do for the Indians when he showed up?
He brought them disease, and...
Okay. And let's look at history, and every other instance that we know of, at least on this planet, where the more advanced kind of group showed up, What happened to the less advanced group?
Well, but those are human beings. And so are alien beings, or beings, you know, that are out there, extraterrestrial, anybody that comes from a planet other than our own, if they're advanced enough to create a spaceship that can travel, you know, millions of light years, maybe even billions of light years, are they going to be more aggressive, or are they going to be less aggressive? I think that as a civilization, even though we're currently going through some difficult times as a civilization, I think we've become less aggressive. I think that the average person, the average human being is less aggressive than they were, you know, even a couple hundred years ago. So, as we become more enlightened in what we know about enlightenment, we become less aggressive and more accepting, as I guess is the word I'm going to use,
yeah,
of other people and other ideologies. And we try to help people to find peace and comfort. Just based on my own experiences in, you know, on the other side. I've been over there 4 or 5 times, and it's always a very peaceful place. I mean, it's the whole point that they're trying to impart to us with these messengers from God, Jesus, Muhammad, Buddha, Allah, all the different messengers of God, originally have spoken about being passive and being peaceful and caring about one another. It's only when man has taken their words and twisted them and deified the messenger and kind of thrown the message away that we've become aggressive in trying to force people to believe something that we want them to believe. So, if we look at our spiritual beliefs in kind of a pure context, in if we throw away the messenger and just keep the message, it's a message of peace, of kindness, of hope. It's a message of passivity. It's a message of love. The one singular thing that I've gotten from every one of my out-of-body experiences is that there is unconditional love in the universe. There is unconditional acceptance. There is an understanding and a knowledge that we don't necessarily fully grasp here, or even make any attempt to grasp, I don't think. But slowly, very slowly, and, you know, it probably isn't going to happen in my lifetime, but we are becoming more enlightened. We can talk about Bigfoot right here on the radio, publicly. We can talk about near-death, out-of-body experiences, ghosts, goblins, UFOs, all of this publicly. You know, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, we really couldn't talk very publicly about these things because we would be laughed at, we would be ostracized, in some cases even locked up in a mental institution.
Hmm.
And so we've come a long way, and it seems like to us as human beings, because we have such a short lifespan, it seems to us like it's not happening fast enough because we want it to happen within our lifetime.
Yeah.
We want it to happen now. But it is happening. It's growing. And we've seen evidence that it's growing. But any time that you grow and you have change, that change is always accompanied by chaos. This is this comes from systems theory, where you know when the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, and that whole changes, there's always a little bit of chaos. Sometimes there's a lot of chaos. I mean, we had 100 years ago. Things were changing, and there was chaos. We went through a Great Depression. We went through some world wars. But hopefully we've learned from that. Some have, some haven't. And that we've grown, that we've come to a point where we don't have to go to war with each other anymore. We don't have to be filled with hate or distrust or dislike. That we can bring forward a sense of people working together, an acceptance of cultures, of all cultures. We can accept living together with different cultural views. And that doesn't mean that, you know, if your culture says you should kill people, that, you know, we're going to just stand there and say, okay, I accept your culture, go ahead and kill me. But when I talk about cultures working together, I'm talking about peaceful cultures. People that want to live in peace and harmony with one another. Now, just the nature of human beings makes that difficult, because by nature, we don't tend to live in harmony with anything. We want to exploit everything. And I'm talking about on a whole, not individually. I think individually there are far more people that want to live in harmony than there are that want to exploit everything that they can. But we have an opportunity to change the world, to change our lives, to change the way we perceive our purpose in this universe. And when we learn that, when we learn about love and kindness and acceptance, when we learn about the knowledge of the universe and the purpose of our spirit, we become more enlightened. We become more able to accept other people for who they are. In the course of my lifetime, I've had the great pleasure to work with people from all over the world, from a variety of cultures and countries and people that speak a variety of different languages. And what I've always found is that if you take away politics and you take away religion, what's left are people that can get along.
Space aliens here to take over all our stuff?
I don't think they are. I mean, but that's my perspective on it. I don't think they're here to take our stuff. And if they are, then why not just give it to them? Well, we don't need it.
Yeah, hey, tell that to somebody at Walmart.
I know. We've become obsessed with buying things and owning things. And, you know, in the Native American cultures before Columbus arrived and began to... I don't actually think that Columbus landed in the United States. Of course, it wasn't the United States, but I think he actually landed somewhere off the coast. But, you know, later the immigrants came. So, but the people that lived here at that time, the Native American people, believed that you couldn't technically own anything. You couldn't own land because the people belonged to the land. The land didn't belong to the people. And from a spiritual perspective, that's a far more acceptable philosophy, that we belong to the land and it's our job to take care of the land. And when we do that, the land takes care of us. It provides us with food and water and shelter, all the things that we need, our basic needs. But we've become possessive. We've become obsessed with owning things, and we have to own a house and a car and furniture and toys, pickup trucks and off-road vehicles and RVs and motorhomes and boats, planes, helicopters. You know, this all of this stuff is not necessarily a part of life. It's kind of a like a side dish. You know, the main part of life, and I'm not saying you shouldn't have all those things. In fact, I think you should. I would like to have all those things. But I also know that I belong to the earth, and I have to respect that. And that I can't just go off and buy everything I want and own everything that I want. I have to have respect for what I'm doing and how I'm treating the earth and how I'm treating my neighbors and my friends and the people that matter in this life. And there's a lot of them.
Well, looking at the latest Sasquatch sightings, this one happened just this last summer. Here's the report. Myself, my dad, and a few friends were on a big hike. It was a two-day hike. On the second day, we were following a creek, which is about 7 miles of just animal trails. We'd come across multiple spots where bear and elk had been sleeping, and at one point, they were about 16 inches long and about 7 to 9 inches wide. We were so close that I can only describe now as a squatch that we could still smell it in the nest. They came across this nest. We stayed for about 10 minutes, then continued to hike. About 5 minutes later, we started to hear tree knocks and such things. That's an interesting one.
They're all interesting.
My husband has been working on this river for the last 2 weeks. One day, he texted me saying, "This is the first day I don't feel alone up here. My husband and I are avid hunters and enjoy our mountain time." The next day, I ended up going to work with him. Later on, we decided to go for a walk down an old dirt road that isn't accessed with a key to the gate. We came across what appeared to be a large footprint. My husband wears a size 12, and this print was a few inches bigger. I have a photo. We've never seen or heard anything else that day. Now, on September 22nd, we decided to go bear hunting on the other side of the mountain. We also had a key for that gate. We drove 11 miles, and then to the left of me, there's an old clear cut, saplings growing. Must be at least 10 to 15 feet tall. I see something black and standing tall and moving through these trees. I yell at my husband to stop, and this black figure's gone. I can't find it anywhere. We continue driving, no luck at all. Don't even see a deer. We decide to turn around and go back in this same exact spot, which is now on my husband's side. He slams on the brakes and says, "What the hell is that? Give me the gun." I hand the gun and lean over to him to see what he's looking at. It's a tall black figure with a head, no ears, very wide shoulders, and couldn't see the bottom part. There was a tree in the way. He stares back and takes a step to the left behind a tree. All this happens within 40 seconds or so, then he vanishes again. At this point, I have tears in my eyes and scared to death. My husband was sick to his stomach, almost to a point of being sick. We were both so confused on what just happened. We started driving, and about 400 yards up the road on his side again, he seen something move at the corner of his eye, and he looked quickly. And these branches on these trees, about 7 feet high, were moving right in a row, like something very tall, it just ran through, pushing them out of its way. We are positive, 100% positive, this wasn't a bear or person. We're convinced what we seen last night had to have been Sasquatch.
I believe it. These are the kind of sightings that are very credible. That have, because, number one, it's more than one person. And that isn't what they were looking for.
Yeah, right.
And I think that's what lends credibility to these kind of sightings.
I saw a large animal covered in long hair in a field to the right of the road. It was a lot larger than a bear. It was so out of place in the open field. It was frozen still. I haven't seen any cattle in that field lately. I regret not stopping to take a picture. I was on my way to a doctor's appointment and had a car tailing me. I was planning on asking the farmer who owns the property what animals he's had in that field lately. Not as detailed as the one.
And you know, for all the sightings, even if you throw away some of the questionable ones, and you only look at the really, really, really credible ones, you know, or that those that at least have some sense of credibility. There's a lot of sightings out there. I mean, it has to mean something. There has to be something there. And if these Bigfoot, these Sasquatch, if they were violent and trying to take over our world, I mean, don't you think they would have done that? I mean, I think they've been around for a very long time. And they have... certainly have the physical strength and ability to overpower us. But they don't seem to be interested in doing that.
Yeah, their interest is to stay away from us.
Yeah. So, again, they're seeking peace and harmony and happiness in their environment rather than trying to invade our environment.
Well, that'll do it for this episode of Strange Harbor. If you want to hear any of our back episodes or you want to read some of the latest UFO or Sasquatch sightings, we got a couple feeds up there that show the latest. Or if you want to just yell at Bill for New Age Tui, log on to strangeharbor.net.
Stay strange.
You're listening to Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.